Welcome to All Things Apostolic here on Monday morning, April the 22nd. And we're glad that you stopped by to be with us. We're going to have a great time today. And we have come out of a great weekend. We were thinking about this and hoping that all of you had a tremendous weekend. And that your church and your leadership and everything about what we do on weekends was blessed mightily, and that people received the Holy Ghost or were encouraged and strengthened and nourished by the Word of God. So wide is the breadth of everything that's necessary for the people of God to move forward and to govern and guide and nurture people. At one point, Moses was called the nursing father of Israel. So when you think about that, the nurture and the giving of life-giving nourishment to people through the Word of God is a big deal and a sobering responsibility. So all of you that are involved in the work of God in your church, a Sunday school teacher or anything else, or pastor, God bless you for the work that you're doing. Praise God. Yesterday was kind of a special day for me. I went back to my home church in Kerman, California, and in the Central Valley of California, where Pastor Jonathan Sanders is pastor, and he and his wife are just doing an incredible job. The church is reaching people, cutting a wide swath across the valley that are attracted to what God is doing there. So a lot of good things happened. Yesterday was the second annual, they started this last year, financial prep for the future of the church. And they have a givings campaign that is not based on sacrifice. This is what I preached yesterday. Not based upon sacrificial giving. No, sir. It's based upon blessing giving. And the Bible says we're blessed. And God, the very first thing God said to Adam after he created him is, and God blessed them. And then it's repeated in Genesis chapter 5, and it talks about the creation of Adam and Eve, and then it says, and God blessed them. Not one single preceding statement made about God's relationship with man took a primacy of place over God blessing. And so it's God's will to bless us. Well, why is it God's will to bless us? I'm not going to preach all this today, but why is it God's will to bless us? Well, that is revealed to us in Genesis 12 and 3, where God told Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, verse 3. Before that, though, he says, he uses the word blessed, some form of it, at least five times in those three verses. And he says, before he said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, he said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. I will bless you. And then he says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you can't bless all the families of the earth with mission work if you are not blessed. It takes the blessing of God upon us. And oftentimes people talk about the word, the grace of God resting upon. The grace means favor and empowerment. The word grace in the New Testament is, the Greek is charis, from which we get charisma or charismatic. And so charismatic in its original meaning is not that they're just some flash in the pan personality that can sweep people one way or another. But the charisma, the gifts, the Bible, the gifts of the Spirit are called gifts of grace, gifts of charismata. And that's why we call, that's where the word charismatic comes from. So anyway, that anointing is part of that, is the core of that blessing. And you say, well, that was for Abraham. Well, Galatians 3 tells us that, the 3:14, I believe it is, says the blessings of Abraham have come upon us. And it specifically identifies the core of that blessing as receiving the Holy Ghost. And so, anyway, so this was their second annual. This was the kickoff of their second annual. And then they have a service every month in which they bring their commitment. It's faith commitment. It's not like a bill. If they can't do it, they do it if God has blessed them to be able to do it. That's how it works. And so God's blessing on them lets them then bless the work of reaching the nations of the earth. You get it? So that's how it works. That's the biblical, that's the foundational and core concept of a biblical theology of mission. That's how it works. And so God blesses the people. And this is what we taught yesterday, that God blesses the people. And the people, in turn, develop their own ministries of leadership in giving and in supporting and even starting or initiating in the collaboration with their church and, of course, with their pastor, works that don't even exist. So all of this is very exciting. Anyway, the result of it was we had a great service. Place was packed, chairs in the aisles, people in the little balcony above. The building's not big enough that they're in. They purchased property. They purchased 18 acres they're getting. And then they purchased 5 more acres. But in the midst of all of that, they almost doubled their monthly commitments from last year. They started this just last year, and they almost doubled their commitments for this year. So that was an exciting deal. It was wonderful. God's blessing there in a great way. Came home last night, drove home, got home after church had already started. Pastor Nathaniel Urshan was here, he and his wife, Sister Jackie Urshan, and he was just getting up to preach when I got back to Sacramento. Did a great job. I don't know, 4 or 5, got the Holy Ghost last night and had a tremendous service. So it was a great day. And then there's other things on the grassroots. Like I just communicated with Dr. Dean Anderson this morning, who's part of the pastoral staff of the church and teaches for Wilson University and has done a lot of work in different areas here. And so he felt a passion to break into Northern California. And so he went up the road an hour or two to Williams, which this is all farm country up there. Williams is a town on I-5. And he just started knocking on doors. And then he got a little place to hold a Bible study. And so he's been working out that rough edges. At one point, he knocked on the door and witnessed to a man. And they prayed the man through standing on his porch to the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. But anyway, he had this Bible study. I think it's the first time he had it formally like this. And had 3 new guests there that were tremendously touched of the Holy Ghost. And he said they prayed and sought God and are hungry for God. And so on every level, the rawest level of going out and starting something, all the way up to God helping his people to reach out to the entire world. All of that is part and parcel of what's going on constantly. It's not just here, it's everywhere. There's churches across the country are experiencing this kind of revival and beyond. In Jesus' name, we think this is just the beginning. So here at Wilson University, a lot of good things are happening as a result of a lot of hard work, and accreditation now is a completed thing and a reality, and we're moving forward. A very accelerated number of admissions, new students, and we're excited about that, and we'll talk about that later. But what I really want to talk to you for just a few minutes today is about something that is increasingly bearing down, at least on my mind and spirit, and I think on the minds and spirit of others that are in a kind of halfway informal collaboration of communication and discussion. And that is that I know of. Now, there could be things that I don't know of course, but that I know of. There is no official, I don't mean that official is stamped by some organization, but there is no formal address. Nobody has thought through the subject of developing or articulating an apostolic approach to education. And I think we're fast coming to this intersection with all of the developments in our country and in our world. I think we're fast coming to where we are going to have to develop, first of all, an apostolic view of education and define what education is from an apostolic worldview or an apostolic point of view. We're going to have to do that. And the reason, of course, for this is, you know, you ask the question, why do we have to, or what if we don't do that? Well, it's not going to take long for you to see why this is of concern to us. One of them is it's not just education, higher education. It's including K through 12. And when you say the education apostolic movement, you're taking a broad swath there. You're just not talking about college. And but all of this is important to us because we're not just interested in promoting and developing a great college. That's not, as far as we're concerned, that alone is not a standalone goal worthy of all of our efforts. The college must be tied into providing the correct ministry to a movement of opportunity for people to become educated in an apostolic view of higher education. A view that comes out of what does it mean to be apostolic? Because apostolic encompasses every aspect of our lives. It's not just a little piece somewhere. So working on this, when we think about the things to which our children are being exposed, that K-12 in the public schools, and there is pushback, thank God, but that social issues and the promotion of social things like tearing down all sense of morals and making every deviant lifestyle be presented as being normal, and that so people have equal rights to do these things and live this way just like others, and they ought to be promoted without any consideration of all of the ramifications of that, and that some of these things is not even necessarily only a moral question. It's a question of, is this healthy? It's a question of, is this what's best for humans? And we do this all the time. In medicine, we say there are certain things that we recommend you don't do because it's not good for humans, like smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol in tremendous excess like we see all over the place, and the results of all of that. Well, the same thing is true of lifestyles that are being promoted as being normal and healthy and so forth, which is a lie. They're not neither normal nor healthy. And so we're for humans, you know, we're for every human being. And we don't want to see humans led into some kind of abuse of their own health. That health means physically, that health means emotionally, that psychologically, that health means mentally, and that health means spiritually. So the whole man is whatever we promote, is it healthy in its entirety for human beings. And this is part of an apostolic approach to education, is that we promote things that are good for human beings. So the whole K-12 thing that's going on, where education in terms of general subjects that are necessary to really get along in life at a higher level are kind of being put on the back burner to deal with these kinds of things, where just it's ridiculous that kids go to school and are taught they can be an animal, or if they say I'm an animal, then they're accepted as an animal. And so in some of these places, they actually have put, like, one kid, but I'm a kitten, I'm a cat. And so they were actually told to put in the school bathroom a litter box for that kid. So, of course, biblically, all of this is a retrogression on a massive scale. The Bible talks about men and women and people, humans, that act as, quote-unquote, brute beasts. And so this is a diminishment of humanness. We are for human health. That's an apostolic theological point. We are for that which is good in every way possible for human beings. So this is a diminishment of humanness. And on we could go in all of these things. So we don't want our children taught that. That's a diminishment, to think that they're an animal instead of a human. There's differences that we're not going to get into, anthropological differences and just the makeup of being of earth life. It has some distinctions. Everything's not the same. So, therefore, well, what do we do about K-12? Have we come to the point that we should? And we're trying to hear. This discussion actually came out of, I'm just telling you what's going on today. This discussion actually came out of a Wilson Academy board meeting, which Wilson Academy is K-12 online, and it's up and it's flying and it's going. And in the next 6 months or less, we anticipate it also will be accredited. And it is tied to Wilson University in that the last 2 years of high school in K-12, the last 2 years of high school, they can also be taking college courses with Wilson University. It's called dual enrollment, I think. And these, they can actually graduate with up to maybe an AA or have a significant part of their college already behind them. And they can also finish Hope Corps in high school this way and be ready to go to Hope Corps when they get out of the 12th grade. So when they graduate from high school. So this is all this discussion about, you know, how do we, our whole deal is the preservation and advancement of the apostolic movement. So how do we do that? This is part of this whole discussion. And then on the college level, where are people going to go to college? And the things that you read about every day, that in our colleges and universities are just disconcerting. And the same, what would be called wokeness, which is really not wokeness at all, the same wokeness is prevalent there on a higher ed level, and colleges are being subjected, the police are trying to straighten them out and get the students and get people who aren't even students off of the commons, and that's just crazy. And they certainly do not give a biblical apostolic, they don't start from there, and they don't give it because they don't know anything about it. So anyway, this is some of the things. I'm going to try to talk about this again a little bit because it helps me too, because we're just beginning this journey. And any of you who have some thoughts on this, you're welcome to contribute them. I'd be glad to get them. It's not going to just be a me doing this, but there's a group of people. And one of the first things we probably will do, help us with this, is put out a book that discusses and probes into what is what is education from the vantage point of an apostolic Pentecostal believer? What is education? So we've already done some work on that, and that's important as a guide for the future of the apostolic movement. Whether everybody agrees on everything, at least it provides a framework for such a conversation to be had. So glad you're with us today. Don't miss All Things Apostolic tomorrow. It's going to be incredible. And also Wednesday and Thursday. See you next time.